Welcome to the Going Merry podcast, the number one One Piece review podcast on the internet. My name is Derek, and I am one of your hosts. And as always, I have my two fantastic friends, Amanda and Whitney. Amanda, how are you today?
I'm well. I'm ready to get into this. How are you?
So far, so good. Whitney, how are you?
I asked somebody today how they were, and they gave me the best response I think that I've ever heard in my life. And I said, "How you doing?" And she said, "Living."
Living.
So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm
That's
living.
fair.
Yeah.
Have either one of you ever seen the movie Magnificent Seven with
No, I've heard of it.
With Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke?
Is it like a Western?
Yeah.
Of some sort? No, I haven't seen it.
Here, we're going to introduce our guest so that way he can get in on this conversation too. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I am also living, so we're all in the same boat on that one.
Yes, we made it.
Well, we are really glad to have you on here with us.
I'm glad to be here. This is going to be a fun show.
Yeah, it is. So, Magnificent Seven, there's a story that Chris Pratt is telling to this group of guys sitting around a fire or whatever, and they're talking about a guy that jumped off of like a 10-story building, and people like, and he was talking about how people around that were watching, all they could hear was him all the way down just saying, "So far, so good." So I was like, you know what, I need to start saying that. So this week we watched episode 2 of the live action. Before we get our thoughts on episode 2, I have a question for Tom. And Tomer, I want to know your anime history. So like, none of us on here we're not anime people. Like in most of our guests, actually, I don't think we have any guests that are anime people. So this is an anime podcast that does not have any anime people on it. So what is your history with anime? Have you seen any or anything like that?
Well, I am not going to break the trend of non-anime people because I'm not either.
Okay.
My first kind of introduction to anime was maybe like mid to late 2000s. Me and my friends would sit around and play poker and have Cowboy Bebop on because the soundtrack is really cool.
Okay.
Okay. I've also watched the X-Men anime, which you can find on YouTube. It's not great, but it's X-Men and it's anime.
I have not seen that one. That makes me kind of want to look for it.
Yeah, there's one that's just like X-Men, the group, and then there's one that's just Wolverine, because Wolverine's always got to have a solo thing. So they got
He does. He's the best. That's why.
I think they're like 10 episodes each. Like each one is 10 episodes, which it's pretty easy watch.
That ain't bad. Okay. So you've watched episode 1 and 2 of the live action. What do you think so far? Are you enjoying it?
I am. This is a pretty fun show. So going into this, I had never watched One Piece, didn't really know anything about the lore or what we're getting into here. And so that first scene in the first episode, perfect. I already know where we're at. It's like, this is a world unlike any other. Cool. Weird shit's going to happen. Don't have to explain it. It's a world like any other. I'm on board. We got talking snail phones. Fuck it. Let's go. I don't care. Let's do it. So this is, I mean, it's just pirates running around doing pirate stuff with a very confident and optimistic young man trying to be, I don't know if you've heard of this, he's going to be king of the pirates.
What? Who? Who
I think he's that? Mentioned that once or twice.
Might have screamed it.
Or screamed it, yeah.
Orange-haired women are incredibly hot. I've known this since I was a kid and watched The Fifth Element. Mm-hmm. Emily Rudd does not disappoint in this area.
She absolutely does not. I got to agree with you there. This has been a Zorro of Thirst podcast pretty much the entire length of our review so far of both the anime and the live action, and I'm okay with turning this specific episode into a Nami thirst. You know, that's good with me.
Well, we'll see where that goes. We'll see.
You know what? Wait, you just
There's plenty of thirst for both. It can go around.
Yes, we can. And in fact, Amanda and I've discussed this. And I don't know if we've talked to Derek about it, but we were saying we
Oh,
need a
shit.
new tagline for this podcast, and it's going to be "Welcome to the One Piece podcast, where everyone in the live action is hot."
Okay,
And that
fair.
is no exaggeration. Everyone on
I
this show is hot. And I know that like the makeup is whatever, but if you Google the actors in this show outside of makeup, they're all hot. Every single one of them. Helmeppo is hot.
Yeah.
Arlong is hot. I mean, there's
Arlong
everybody.
is hot.
Hot, hot, hot.
You wouldn't know it looking at him, but
you wouldn't, but man, he brings, well, we won't talk about that yet.
I mean, I think in episode one, we saw plenty of Helmeppo without
Oh,
the
yeah. Without
makeup. Ripped.
pretty much without any anything.
Oh, teddy bear.
We did see him with a teddy bear. Amanda, what did you think of episode two?
I liked this one. Since I have watched everything else, this was probably like a lesser favorite of mine out of just the whole eight of them that are out. But it's still, I think we're still in like the world building phase and getting to know people phase. So totally fine being episode two where it is, I think.
Okay. Whitney, what about you? What did you think of episode two?
Kind of what Tom was saying, that first episode did a lot of really quick world building, and the world building doesn't really stop as you watch through the series, but it definitely goes head first, I think, in this episode at least, into the action, right? We're starting to see more bad guys that are looking like they're going to be more significant to the story, because we saw Alvida in the first episode, we saw a little of Axe Hand Morgan, but now we're getting to Buggy, and he's present through this whole episode and seems to be kind of a nefarious presence that they're going to have to deal with. So I really like the action. We see more of Luffy's abilities, more Zoro activity, more Nami, even. We talked about how much fighting she did that first episode. We see a little more of that, and we see some more of her sneakiness, her cleverness. So I thought it was great that they just kind of went headfirst into it. We had eight episodes, so they were going to have to do something quick, but I think they did it pretty well.
Okay. Tom, any thoughts on this particular episode as far as just overall?
I mean, yeah, it was another fun episode. I love a clown villain, so that's always got to go. I'm not a person that is like has that clown phobia, so I can just enjoy clown stuff.
Same.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't
Yeah,
mind them.
I'm like that too, for the most part.
I don't love them, but I didn't really have a problem with Buggy.
I
Maybe
guess
it's
one
because
of my
everyone
big
thinks he's hot
worries,
too.
right? Buggy is hot. One of my worries with Buggy, especially where we just saw him at the end of the first episode and he did his little maniacal laugh, and I was like, people are gonna like say that they're pulling too much from like the Joker and maybe saying that he's a ripoff Joker or something like that. But after watching him in this episode, I think like I didn't feel that at all. Of course, he's a maniacal clown, same as Joker, but they were so different as characters that it didn't even enter my mind when we were seeing what he was doing in this episode. So I'm kind of glad that they, and I don't know if they purposefully did it, avoided the Joker similarities, but I thought they did a good job with that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm so like when I was in like sixth grade or something like that, and one of the neighbors like at the block over or something like that for Halloween, like dressed up as a clown and like came bursting out of his garage with a chainsaw that had the chain taken off. And like sure, I peed a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, no, I don't have any sort of clown phobia or anything like that. But that is something I will always remember because I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Maybe we can
Regardless of
just
how
keep
you're
it real.
dressed, when you surprise someone holding a chainsaw, that's scary.
Exactly. Like, yeah,
Yeah.
it was absolutely the chainsaw that got me more than anything. This particular episode, I definitely liked the first episode a lot more. This one, honestly, it kind of bored me a little bit. it definitely had like things in it that I liked for sure. Like there were definitely bright spots. But there was a lot of time I was just like, okay, I'm ready to move on now. So yeah, and honestly, like the arc that this is based off of, Orangetown arc in the anime, that kind of bores me as well. You know, I mean, it's only like 3 or 4 episodes. So I don't necessarily blame this episode for not being my favorite, because what it's working with is also not necessarily my favorite. So I'm not holding it against it, the fact that I didn't like it. It's just I was a little bored with this episode. Okay. Are y'all ready to go ahead and jump into the beginning of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. 10 years ago, again, Luffy hangs out in Makino's bar and practices using his devil fruit. Makino tries to explain to Luffy that just because he has these powers now, that doesn't make him invincible. Back in the present day, Nami is able to open the safe to find the map to the Grand Line. She explains the world of One Piece to Luffy and Zoro so they understand the 4 quadrants of the world separated by the Red Line and the Grand Line. But then, the Buggy Pirates attack with a gas bomb to put the 3 to sleep. Tom, we'll start with you. What'd you think about the beginning of this episode?
Well, one thing that hit me is when she says, "You're just because you're rubber, you're not invincible." Like, I was thinking that in the first episode, like, he's taking all these hits. Like, you can cut rubber. Like, I've seen rubber get damaged before. So I'm glad they threw that in. And it's also implying that at some point, like, this kid is going to get hurt, like, even to being rubber. Like, we're going to see this guy in some turmoil at some point. And then he swallows the map.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He just deep throats this canister. Like, all right, I guess rubber has multiple uses.
There you go.
It is a clever use of his powers. Like, yeah, that was a good way to hide a map, I guess.
I will say this about Luffy that was very funny to me because I've seen the whole, you know, I'm completely caught up on the anime now. I've seen every episode. And the thing about Luffy that cracks me up is he makes me realize how little of an imagination that Marvel has with Mr. Fantastic. Like, they basically have the same powers, but Luffy could kick the absolute shit out of Mr. Fantastic. No question. the deep throating a map, yeah, that's sure, that's part of it. I don't know that Mr. Fantastic has ever done that, so
sorry, Sue Storm.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Amanda, what were you thinking here through these couple scenes?
I liked that we got some more history on the devil fruit, because I think that's always good. We can always learn more about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if this was on accident, because I feel like everyone's costumes are very well put together. But I noticed that Makino's wearing like Adidas. So I don't know if they're like black, kind of, there's a little bit of color on them, but I'm like, I don't know if that was supposed to happen. Because I know I think we've probably all seen that photo of Shuri wearing like Nikes or something, or Jordans.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got something on during the battle, but it's the same kind of thing as that. I was like, I don't know. It's fine. You can barely tell.
It fits. We're good.
Yeah. In the wherever, is it a chest of stuff where the map is hidden? I guess it's a treasure chest, right?
It's in a safe.
Safe.
Yeah, so, it's yeah, a safe. Yeah.
They've got the wanted poster for Kuro in there, which is fun. I didn't notice that the first time I watched it. And we got a new title card. So this one had kind of a buggy motif to it.
Oh, yeah.
I think the last one just looks like the overall main logo for the show.
I think it does too. I did kind of get it spoiled that it changes every single episode, and I've already seen all of the title cards for every episode. So I'm looking forward to seeing
them.
They
look great. I enjoy
that. Yeah, they do.
What else? Yeah, I think that was a good beginning to this. The action started pretty quickly. Yeah, I thought the smoke looked good. The red.
It did.
whatever
I felt put them out. I felt like someone just threw, I mean, don't get me wrong, it still looked good, but I feel like someone just threw like some flour into the air and then just shined a red light on it. And that's where they got the smoke from.
That might have been it.
So I'm going to go first before I go to Whitney. the beginning of this episode, it actually did have my favorite quote in the whole episode. And it was, Makino talking to Luffy. And she said, "Haven't you ever heard of the saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch?" And Luffy just pipes up and he goes, "Is it lunchtime?" I loved that. It's just classic Luffy. But on the subject of Makino, she still seems really dull to me. She did finally crack a smile after that particular line. I think she laughed a little bit, but she just seems so upset with life. And I already talked about that last week, so I'm not gonna keep going on it. All I'm saying is I didn't really notice a change in this episode as far as that goes. And the other thing I didn't notice a change of, which Whitney's gonna eat me alive here in a second.
Oh God.
Zoro continues to be driven by money.
What about Nami?
That's the thing though. And so I actually have that in my notes. So Tom, in the anime, Nami is extremely money hungry. Like, it's almost annoying how money hungry she is. That's all she gives a damn
about.
It
is annoying.
Almost.
They're more annoyed with it than I am. You can tell by their reactions how bad it is. And so far in the anime, which, again, I've only seen two episodes, so I can't, or sorry, in the live action, I've only seen two episodes, so I can't speak to the whole series. But so far, I haven't heard Nami mention money a single time. All she's cared about is the map. But Zoro, I've already gave some instances in the first episode where he was more about money. And then here, he has two quotes within 5 minutes of each other, because after Nami opens the safe, he goes and opens it back up and immediately looks in there. He's like, "Isn't there supposed to be gold in the safe or jewels?" And then right after that, like, Luffy starts talking about the One Piece, and Zoro's like, "Yeah, I've been taking a lot of pirates out looking for that thing. What is it, like a you know, some more jewels or something?" And it's like, I'm saying.
Those are legitimate questions, though.
Yeah, those are normal questions. Money?
What's in a treasure chest? Treasure.
Yeah.
So it's in the name.
So I get what you're saying. All I'm saying is that out of 1,100 episodes in the anime, I've never once heard Zoro care about money. Not one time. And I've already heard it in four lines in two episodes of the live action.
Tell Oda that.
My camera was working right now.
Amanda, will you flip me off for Whitney, please? There we go.
Do a double one. Double time.
And so that is in my note there. It's almost like they decided to make Nami not driven by money and give that to Zoro instead. Which is kind of odd for me, especially because Nami's, you know, the like story that Nami has in the East Blue arc as a whole, which is what this first season of the live action is covering, makes Nami extremely driven by money. Like, she was basically forced to at a young age. And so it's odd for me that she's not. And at this point, I'm okay with her not being driven by money, depending on how the rest of the series goes. Like, if all of a sudden toward the end of it, they're like, "Oh yeah, she's been scrounging for a shit ton of money as it goes on. And just, that's all she cares about." Why haven't we seen it? So like, at this point, it's not bothering me, but it's something that I could see bothering me later. If that makes sense.
I agree. That is a weird choice to not have her be like that, because that is like her whole personality.
it is. Yeah. So like, it's just something that I'm monitoring, and it's like, watching this so far, I feel like they're like, we need
I'm
to
monitoring
have
it.
I'm paying attention to.
We could see that change. I mean, if you want to skip ahead to the end of this episode, I think she might be looking for some money.
Let's keep going.
I mean, yeah, and maybe I missed something. Maybe she is. But that's just something that I noticed. I was like, it almost feels like they're like, okay, so we need someone driven by money, but we don't want it to be Nami because that's just like the anime. So let's make it Zoro that's driven by money instead, because he's not in the anime. It's almost like they needed someone to be driven by money, and so they just decided to change characters. Again, that's just my thoughts. So, Whitney, hit me.
Okay, so we're still in, like, the first couple scenes. We're not even to the capture quite. I mean, they just got caught, but we're not past that yet, correct?
Correct.
All right, so everybody else kind of made these points, but I like the really short but powerful world building they did with the devil fruit explanation by Makino. And like Tom said, that's a really good point. I didn't think about it, but it made us kind of aware that Luffy's not going to be invincible throughout this series, because in the first episode, we see his powers, but we're not really sure how far he can go. How much can he handle? So that was a really good point. I also liked when the title card was amazing. And I mean, I think each one, and I'm not going to say what they are, but I thought they all looked really good. And I like that they chose the ones they did for each episode. The grand line explanation by Nami, we had heard a little bit of that from Kobe in the last episode when he kind of mentioned how dangerous, treacherous it is. But this was actually like a little bit more detailed, so it kind of helps us out a little bit. I could have used that explanation watching the anime because I was so confused for so long about what it was. But the safe, I like that where they're all together now as a crew, but not a crew yet, right? Seeing how they interact with each other, because at first it's going to be difficult because they're getting to know each other. We're seeing them kind of bumble around against each other. But when Nami was trying to unlock the safe and she's listening to the combination, and Luffy's getting on her nerves, as he does, and he leans down and listens through her head. I laughed out loud when that happened. It was the cutest thing. He's such a sweet little innocent baby. But then she attacked the thing that he loves the most, right? At this point, which is his hat. And she kind of bats it away and it goes flying. And you can see just the little anger in his face. He's like, not cool. So I just like that I'm seeing how they are starting to interact with each other in these couple scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I really like the way the actor is portraying Luffy so far in this show. Like, he's definitely very Luffy-esque in the way he's acting and stuff, and right. And kind of his lines. I mean, I kind of mentioned in last week's episode, and I didn't notice it as much in these episodes, and it's maybe for the fact, or in this episode specifically, and it's maybe for the fact I don't remember any particular lines where he said something. I mentioned last episode that I didn't feel like, or like I feel like he's got a bigger filter in the live action, and I didn't even notice it in this episode. Like, that's not ever a thought that popped into my head. So I really liked the way he was acting this episode as Luffy, for sure. Like, he definitely felt like Luffy.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so we can move on to the next scene.
So, do it.
The three wake up in the middle of a crowd of people chained up in a circus tent. In walks Buggy the Clown. Nami throws Luffy's hat to cause a distraction so she can get away. When she takes a step outside the tent, she sees that Buggy and his crew have completely destroyed the entire town. Back in Shellstown, Kobe puts on a Marine uniform for the first time. In the courtyard of the base, he stands at attention alongside Helmeppo as Morgan escorts Garp through the base. So, Whitney, you went last. We'll hit you first this time. What did you All think right. Of any of this here?
So, I mean, it seems kind of silly at the outset, right? It's got the circus music. It's not super threatening at first, but then they pan over at one point to the townsfolk who are shackled to, I guess, bleachers, the stands, whatever they're sitting on. And I kind of paused the episode at this point and thought more about it because it didn't hit me at first, but I really thought about that and was like, that's kind of terrifying, actually. Like, just imagine if somebody came in and ransacked your entire town, your village, they took everything. And not just that, but they shackled you up and forced you to laugh and clap at things that are terrible, right? I thought that was pretty menacing, and weird and gross and awful, but it worked for me to kind of let us know that this was not just a silly encounter, which in the anime, I don't know that I ever took Buggy very seriously. He was silly. He was always getting beaten. He was saying stupid shit all the time. Like, my one gripe here is he didn't say my favorite line that's ever been uttered in the anime. You guys remember?
I'm so mad I could fart. Is that what it was?
I'm so angry I can't even fart.
That's
That
right.
was said by Buggy, and it's the best line I've ever heard.
That
And
makes me want to watch
yeah, if
the
only for the Buggy episodes, they're so ridiculous. But this Buggy is just a different animal for me, because I took him a little more seriously. But I like that he name drops all the different names he has. He uses the word flashy, which Tom is a very big thing in the anime. He uses the word flashy or flashily a lot, and it's one of my favorite things too.
Flashy flatulence.
Yeah, flashy flatulence. That's a good one.
That sounds like someone lighting their farts on fire, is what that sounds like.
as you do, and I guarantee he's done that. Because like a
Hey,
circus trick, right?
take my ass over there and light my fart on fire.
Oh, he could do
And
that. Oh my
he
God, he
could.
could. And that way he wouldn't get hurt. He
Yeah.
wouldn't burn up any of the
I
rest
bet
of
he does that like
them.
once a day just for amusement. I
And now we
mean,
know how we took over the town.
he just had people carry his ass from house to house.
It
Oh my
flamethrower.
God. Let's see. I'm not sure where we stopped, but
We stopped at the scene with Morgan escorting Garp through the Marine
okay.
base.
So we get to the Nami that we all know and love, the one who's willing to abandon people and just leave
Yep.
and save herself, which I kind of get it, but she doesn't know these people yet. She doesn't have an attachment to Zoro and Luffy, but we see just a little bit of Nami that we know is a survivor at all costs, right? No matter what she does to hurt anyone else. I like the exchanges between Luffy and Buggy when he's mentioning all his names, and you know, Luffy without his naivete and his bluntness, and he's like, "You have a lot of names." And he's starting this shtick of him getting Buggy's name wrong, which is wonderful. I can't remember what he calls him here, Burpee maybe or
Boogie.
Boogie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Kind of like an ongoing joke that we're gonna see, I think. But other than that, I do like Garp's headwear, his dog hat, his little cap. I had forgotten that he wore that in the anime. So it's silly, but I almost didn't mind because he counters himself in such a stately way. Like he's so formidable that the dog hat didn't really take that down for me. It was still pretty cool. And he doesn't wear it all the time, so it's not overdone. So I don't know. I thought that was a nice little touch.
I remember the first time I saw him in the anime without the dog hat. It took me a second to realize who he was. I was like, I don't know who this guy is.
Because I'm trying to remember, is his beard like a light purple-ish in the anime? I'm trying to remember what he looks like.
No, he's got all gray facial hair.
Is it all gray?
Yeah.
Okay. It's been a while since we've seen him in the anime, I think.
Yeah, because let's see. I think the last time we saw him was in episode 69, and we're on episode 92 right now. So,
Nice. Nice.
Tom, what did you think about your introduction to Buggy here and kind of like Orange Town and everything?
So when I first see Buggy, I'm thinking, oh, this guy's going to be ridiculous. And he is, but I'm thinking like he's going to be ridiculous, kind of like what she said, just I can't take this villain seriously. Like, you're not going to be a real threat. But he kind of was like, the actor didn't play this like super silliness. Like there was some silliness to it, but there was like a maniacal, very dangerous silliness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Nami, you know, pulls her little gag and throws the hat up and runs out and you see the town, you're like, oh, this isn't just a clown. This guy's and his crew are super dangerous,
mm-hmm.
But still silly. Like, I think they did that balance really well of him being like an actual clown, and he gets mad at himself when Luffy says, everyone knows you. And he's like, what knows? And then he says it again. Yeah. He goes, oh, now you got me doing it. So he gets to pull gags and still be menacing. And I think that's a really tough thing to pull off. And they did it really well.
Yeah, it's absolutely a tough thing to pull off. And then, so like we kind of get an introduction to, well, I guess no, Kobe and Garp were in the last episode as well. What were you thinking like with all that scene with Garp and Morgan and Kobe?
Yeah, that was another thing of like, I'm interested to see where this Kobe thing goes. Cause like him and Luffy were, you know, real friendly, and now they're kind of going their separate ways. So I'm really looking forward for this meeting point of when they see each other again on the sea of battlefield world or whatever. Battlefield
world. I love it. I'm going to start calling it that from now on. The sea of battlefield.
I like it.
Amanda, what about you?
I was really excited for the circus part because I love a circus. I know I said earlier before that I don't love clowns, but I like all of the rest of the circus atmosphere. So like the tent and the design of how everything looks and the music and all the, you know, sideshow weird people that show up in traveling circuses and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with everybody else. Basically, Buggy was a lot more threatening here than he was in the anime for sure. And mm-hmm. the chaining the people to the benches was really dark. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him doing that before. I don't think he did that in the anime, did he?
Okay. No, that's not something from the anime.
So I did like that change. And then lots of conflicted thoughts about Kobe here because he looks so excited and like proud to put on his uniform. And he's, you know, said in the last episode, I think that's, you know, that's what he wants to do. That's his dream, to become a Marine and all that kind of thing. But at the same time, you're like, are you sure? Because it seems like this maybe isn't the best path, but we shall see where he ends up.
That's another good point. I'm trying to figure out like who, other than Luffy, who seems to be really a good guy, other than him, who are the good guys? Because the Marines working for the world government, like a world government, that doesn't sound good. Like that's never a good, that doesn't work out for anybody. And then the pirates seem to be super awful. Like there was the two guys in the first episode that like when they find Nami, who was apparently setting them up, but like they find her, like they're being super evil to her. Now the Buggy is being super. So the pirates aren't really good guys. The Empire's not good guys. It's just an evil world, and then Luffy pops up.
Yeah,
because he's a good pirate. So
yeah,
like
mm-hmm. it's like a conflict, a conflict with Kobe because he's had this idea of what a Marine is, and it's starting to be kind of destroyed. Just like Luffy has had this idea of what a pirate is because of Shanks, and it's kind of taken him back. I mean, I'm sure he was aware that there were bad pirates because he's experienced them in his childhood, but like. Everybody else kind of expects a certain kind of pirate and they're seeing something different with Luffy. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an interesting contrast between the two, or a comparison between the two.
I absolutely agree. I think it's like, I think Luffy's definitely getting it different. Like because of the fact that like Tom is saying that the pirates so far have all been assholes. And you know, the only pirate we've seen besides Luffy that's not an asshole is Shanks. And you know, everything else other than that, it's like a wake up call. And I see what Tom's talking about for sure. It's like hard to tell who the good guys is. And I can't disagree with that statement at all. Like I still cannot answer that question. I don't know. I had the note that pretty much everybody touched on as well. Buggy continues to feel more menacing throughout this live action so far. He feels a lot more serious. And he was definitely comedy relief in the anime. Like he was all about comedy as far as like he was kind of a joke of a villain. But at the same time, the serious part of him was the fact that he was also the first person that we'd seen besides Luffy that also has a devil fruit power. And so that was the thing that kind of felt serious about him more than anything, I think, was this was going to be first Luffy's first opponent that had a devil fruit power as well, instead of Luffy having that upper hand, I guess you would say, and the fact that he's the only one that has one in a fight. So that's something that I kind of noticed with Buggy here. I really like how they're doing Buggy for sure. Beast Tamer Moji was demoted to a sign holder in the live action. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, I kind of missed the lion though.
I know, and I liked that Buggy got mad at him for not having the dancing lion.
It was a nice little nugget for fans to be like, we didn't forget about the lion, we just didn't do the lion here.
Yeah. So Tom in the anime, I don't know if you remember on the live action, there was the guy that was holding the signs, like telling people to laugh. He had like blue pants, and then like he had like a weird sheep's head, and
Like a little hat with ears.
yeah. Anyway, kind of goopy looking. He has a much bigger part in the anime, and so it was funny to me that they kind of, like I said, demoted him to basically nothing and just holding a sign. And in the anime, he also has a massive pet lion that he fights with, like, or like the two of them work as a team to fight other people. And so the bit about the lion, it was fun to kind of get that little line there about that. And then I really liked when Morgan was talking to Garp in the courtyard, and Morgan's like trying to explain what's going on without making himself sound extremely stupid. And Garp was just completely calling his BS. Like you could tell by the look on his face. He's like, really? That's how it happened, huh? And so I really liked that Garp was not taking anything he said seriously at all. It was funny to me. Anything else on this one before we move on?
Nope.
All
I'm
righty.
ready.
Back in the tent, Nami and Zoro discuss how they are going to escape while Luffy is being tortured in the other room. Luffy is able to get free, but he quickly finds out that Buggy is also a devil fruit user, so this fight may not be as easy as he thought. Again, Buggy's able to use sleeping power or sleeping powder to knock Luffy out. Kabaji goes in to attempt to torture Zoro, unknowing that Nami continues to work on picking the lock right behind his back. Back at the Marine base, Garp calls Kobe into Morgan's office for a private meeting between the two of them. Garp interrogates Kobe to figure out why he is a Marine now and why he was seen with Luffy prior to the base attack. So I'll go ahead and go first on this one. One of my biggest notes was both Buggy and Kabaji are absolutely terrible at torture. Like Buggy, you see a man that can stretch insanely far. You obviously know that his devil fruit gives him the ability to stretch. And so you decide to torture him by stretching him. Like you're just playing right into his strength. Come on.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering earlier when we talked about him swallowing the map. Like, does anything hurt when he stretches? Because we saw here that he was kind of laughing, even though it seemed at first he was screaming. So I wonder if anything ever hurts him when he does this.
I don't know that it does. I mean, I'm sure he has a limit to his stretching. I've just never seen it.
Gotcha.
Is anybody gonna sing this part?
See.
When, because he's getting stretched. And he gives the line. He gives the Captain America line. I can do this all
Oh,
day.
he
I
does.
can do this all day.
And
So
then
good.
even Kabaji going into like torture Zoro, Okay, this guy is a professional swordsman, and you're gonna try to torture him with knives. Like, it's just, and especially like throwing knives at him, and Zoro's just chilling. He's not even flinching or blinking or anything. Like, come on, let's try to find a different torture strategy here. Like, so that was definitely one of my notes. I was like, I think we can do better than this guy's. Which actually, it kind of made it funny for me. So it's not that I didn't like it. It was just something that I noticed that they're both bad at torture. And actually, it's kind of fitting. Like,
On brand, yeah.
yeah, like we said, Buggy's kind of a, like in the anime, he was kind of a comedy relief guy. So him doing something like this and not being good at torture is funny. Garp is definitely more of a hard ass in the live action. Like, he's actually sitting here interrogating Kobe, which it's still fitting for Garp. It's just a different side of him that we haven't really seen at this point in our watch through of the anime. Like, you can tell he's got that side where we're at in the anime. It's just so far, all we've seen him talking about is a donut eating contest and getting cut up and accidentally falling asleep in the middle of a fight, and then waking up and thinking somebody else died instead of a massive slice out of his chest. Like, he's got a funny side to him where we're at in the anime right now, and he definitely does not have that here. Which I'm, like I said, I'm completely okay with. It's still very fitting for Garb. Let's see, Amanda. What do you think?
This was fine. Kabaji looks great. I don't know. I keep saying this, that everybody looks like the way that they've replicated everyone's costumes has looked really good, but for
It
some
has.
reason, this one in particular, I was like, holy shit, he really looks
Right.
exactly like it's like the drawing just jumped out of the page.
100%.
But yes, agree with the torture. A little bit, he didn't think it through. I think he was trying to psych him out because he was like obviously throwing the knives to miss him, but it didn't have the intended effect there. Kind of interesting to see this relationship between Garp and Kobe developing earlier than what we saw in the anime. So, kind of wondering what his motives are here with Kobe. Like, what's he trying to do? Because he's like singling him out in particular, and I know that he saw or he knows that he kind of had a little relationship with Luffy for a little while, but he's not really going after anybody else so far.
Tom, what about you?
I'm gonna thirst over Zoro a little bit because he
Yes.
continues to be the most bad motherfucker on the planet. Because the dude torturing him says, "You just don't fear death, do you?" He said, "No, I just don't fear you." It's like, oh, you're
Yes.
still tied up, talking shit.
That
I love that part.
was one of my quotes that I pulled. I loved it. Oh, so good.
Zoro, seriously, like, I know I was kind of giving him a little bit of shit earlier, and again, it's not the characters, or it's kind of the writing that the way they did him in that area, but he seriously has some of the most badass one-liners, and he is still, like, just like the anime in this show, he is absolutely the most badass character in the live action, hands down, for sure. Like, it's very fitting in that aspect. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's the big part of this. Yeah, other than that, and then Luffy is just kind of laughing. Like, he's still staying on character, like he's getting tortured, but like you said, the torture is the strength of the character. And then they've got Nami tied up, and she's gonna sneak out because that's apparently what she does, is be super sneaky. So, like, you've created, the villains here have created this world. Of the real peril that is not that perilous for the heroes, because you have drastically underestimated all of your heroes in this scene, despite taking over this small town.
Exactly. Like, honestly, it kind of feels like if they threw Captain Marvel off of a skyscraper and she's like, you know I can fly, right? Like, like that's what this felt like to me.
We're gonna shoot you into space. Well, okay, that's kind of where I live. Yeah.
Oh, no, don't please. Don't
not space.
Not space. I've never been to space.
Whitney, what about you?
So I really like that Buggy gives Luffy a little information about knowing Shanks, that they serve together on a crew. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't say what crew. And we knew this from the anime because we saw a flashback where they were together on a boat. But I don't think we know what crew they were on. If we did, I forgot.
I was going to ask. I can't remember if they've said or not.
We saw them in... I can't remember why he doesn't like Shanks. I know that he doesn't, but I want to know what crew they were on. Okay. I have theories, but I don't know. When we first see his devil fruit powers, I thought they looked awesome. I thought they looked really good.
And they did.
It's not an easy thing to make look good, just like Luffy's powers, right? And you mentioned Reed Richards earlier. I really hope somebody at Marvel's taking notes here. Especially for Fantastic Four that's coming up one day, maybe when I'm 80, but they need to follow whatever they've done because it looks so good. Let me go off on a tangent for a minute, but not really. Okay. So I don't think me and Amanda talked about this a while back because we couldn't talk to Derek about it because he's being a baby and won't watch the film.
So I'm doing this for our anybody, listeners.
Nobody cares, lying. Derek. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. No, I'm just kidding. You do you. But if anybody listening is a TikTok watcher, which I am, and Amanda is, I know, I never, ever, because we had seen Buggy in the trailer and we'd seen pictures on Instagram, and I never really thought about it much because I was like, oh, it's just Buggy. I never expected things to blow up like they have with the thirst over Buggy. On TikTok, it is insane. People are losing their shit over Buggy. And now that I've seen a few videos, I'm like, you know what? They're not wrong. And yeah. I've seen a few videos of him getting his makeup put on, plus another character I sent to Amanda that we can't talk about yet. But holy shit, these people, mm-hmm. again, are very hot, which I know is not the most important thing in the world, but damn. But I think Tom mentioned this a little bit earlier, just with Buggy's tone and his demeanor. He's kind of silly in one minute, and then the next he does this whisper where he sounds kind of menacing, but he's not yelling. And to me, that's a little scarier than somebody who's just losing their mind on somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know that he means business at that point. And also, there's a lot of other thirst videos about One Piece between characters. People are shipping them. And okay. If you take certain lines out of context, like this here, I was watching this scene again.
Oh, shit.
So I've been rewatching stuff on YouTube, people reviewing the show, and I have to be really careful because the people who know One Piece and are reviewing, they will just legitimately drop any spoiler without warning. So I've started watching reviewers who have never seen One Piece and don't know anything about it. And like Real Rejects has been one of my favorite ones that I've watched. They're great. They have no history with it, so they don't spoil anything, but they are enjoying it. So I saw this one scene out of context, and it was Kabaji whispering to Zoro, "I've been thinking about you for years." And it just cuts off right there.
Yeah, like you can't just like do that.
I had to like fan myself for a second. I was like, damn.
I know, because like it's real close too.
Yeah, it is. His face. Oh, and Zoro is, he can't move. So it's a little, I don't know. So, and the guy playing Kabaji again, super hot. And he looks so good. His hair is perfect. His outfit is perfect. His little scarf, his unicycle is just perfect.
I wonder if that
on the unicycle.
Yeah, we did. I wonder if that guy had to learn how to ride a unicycle for the show.
Oh, I hope so. Probably. It sounds like so much fun, but kind of difficult.
Or maybe it was like one of those things they put that in the casting call. Must learn to ride a unicycle. They just picked someone that was good looking and they could ride a unicycle. And they're like, boom, Kabaji.
Yeah, there you go. Done.
He just showed up at the audition already riding a unicycle. And you got
oh my God. He rode it to the to the casting call.
And he just rides in, and then he just looks at the judges, and he's like, "I've been thinking about you for years."
Like, and at that moment, Yuri and Amanda would have been like, "You're hired." Yep.
Done. Wardrobe.
I like the fact that Zorro didn't flinch. We talked about that already, but we'd seen that before in the previous episode when Helmeppo shot at him and he did not flinch. And so, I don't know, there's just something about that that is inherently badass, because there's not many people in this world that would not flinch at something like that. Moving on to Garp and Kobe, I think Kobe's character development in this show is so good. I've said it before, hated Kobe in the anime. Most of us did. Most people do. I like him here. And I like that he's having such a conflict within himself right now. Garp seems a little unhinged to me. Like, he's given a little hints of insanity. I don't know at this point why he is so obsessed with catching these pirates. Like, they kind of make you think, oh, well, they invaded a marine base and made fools of them, so that's a pretty big deal. But also, it's kind of like, really, is that the whole story here? Why is he freaking out so much over this? And he's very serious one minute, and then he does this crazy laugh, which to me, I'm like, is he a little cuckoo? Is he a little, has he lost it a little bit? So I'm interested to see where Garp goes to and see what his deal is.
Okay. See, I think, yeah, that's all of us. Okay.
Derek's like, I know what his story is, but I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah, we're just going to leave that there. In the flashback again, Luffy sits in the bar with Makino as the bandits from before stroll back in. Luffy's mouth gets going, and he bites off a little more than a 7-year-old can handle. The red hair pirates step in and steal the scene, but after the short, dominant fight, Shanks notices that Luffy and the head bandit are no longer around. Back in the present day, Luffy is trapped inside a glass case that is slowly filling with seawater. Because of his devil fruit, all of his energy is being drained by the seawater. Buggy continues to try to get the location of the map out of Luffy, but of course, it's getting him nowhere. In the flashback, the bandit takes young Luffy out to a small dinghy. but they are quickly overturned by a massive sea king. The bandit is eaten, and at the cost of his arm, Shanks is able to rescue Luffy. Tom, we'll let you go first. What did you think about all this with the flashbacks and then Buggy being or not Buggy, Luffy being trapped in the glass case of emotion?
So, okay, I'm going to, so the salt water deactivates his devil fruit power?
So it not only deactivates it, it basically makes his energy level zero. Like, he can barely stand up even. Like, it basically takes away the ability for him to move at all.
Okay, I missed that part. That's cool. Okay. That explains part of that scene. That's good. Yeah, the flashback. Is this the flashback where we get the cool looking fight scene at the bar?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a sucker for a good fun fight scene, especially with pirates. Pirates should always have the most fun fight scenes of any fictional character. And this was a lot of fun. This was great. And then what's his mentor's name? The guy that gives him the hat.
Shanks.
Shanks, yes. So he loses an arm and he's like, what's an arm? So
right.
He's eaten devil fruit, question mark, I'm assuming. I mean, I know they don't flat out tell us that, but like, something's going on with this guy.
Shanks does not have a devil fruit.
Okay, well, that question remains unanswered.
He's just a fucking badass. That's
I was happy. I mean, this is like the previous scene, but when we finally see the clown with his devil fruit powers, because the first episode, he eats the fruit, and I'm thinking, okay, is this like a Bruce Banner thing? This is something that should have killed you, but instead it gave you superpowers, or can just anybody do this? So seeing like there's a world of people out there, assuming we're going to meet others, I mean, that have eaten devil fruit. So that's that was an interesting part of this. The monster in the boat scene, terrifying. That And the CG on that looked really cool. So I was really happy to see stuff that looked, or at least did to me. I'm also not a big CG critic. Like, somebody will say stuff looks bad, and I'm like, ah, I don't know. It was the thing that they told me it was. I don't know what to do. But I thought it looked really cool. I thought that was a really terrifying scene.
Okay. Yeah. I think on that scene with Shanks, I liked his line here, because I think whenever Luffy mentions that his arm was gone, I think he says it's just an arm, which, while it's very similar, I think I liked his response a little bit better in the anime, because it was kind of, he was like, I've got another one. It was just again, both of them are very laid back responses, like they don't really care. It's just the one was kind of jokey and the other one was more serious, but that's just me comparing one to another. I didn't dislike what they did in the, you know, the line in the live action. I still really enjoyed it.
I'm also concerned. Saltwater deactivates his powers. That's a huge kryptonite for a pirate. There's salt water everywhere.
That's absolutely true.
In this world that they live in, which is mostly ocean, I mean, it's just little islands. So it's not even like they have, well, I don't know this for sure, but it's not like they have like giant continents where they can take refuge. It's just ocean everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's definitely a thing. And I think someone explained it to where basically Luffy can be in salt water up to his ankles and he's okay. If it's anything more than that, that's when it'll affect him. Well, and that's every Devil Fruit user. It's not just Luffy. But like, so if he gets splashed with salt water, it's not as big of a deal. It's more if he's like completely covered in it or soaked or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Amanda, what did you think of this?
I liked this part. I thought the fight was good. We got to see Yasop, and he had a really cool move. He had two guns. Yeah. And he went like over his arm and pew-pewed the guy.
So cool.
That was a great description.
It was good. Real casual about it.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that part was good. And then the Sea King, I thought it looked really good. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people were looking forward to seeing, and see how they did it. I didn't have any problems with it. I haven't really seen anybody that has had any issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I generally try to avoid that because it just irritates me when people shit all over everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, Shanks just freely bleeding into the ocean, totally fine. We do meet a couple of characters like that here and there that seem like they're too strong. Like, you know, like, oh, this person's really powerful, or like they've got really powerful punches, or they don't seem to react to pain very much, or you know, they can fall several feet off of a cliff or something and they're totally fine. So it kind
Nami.
Of like it
Nami.
It does make you wonder for people that we see who are like that, like, do they have a fruit or are they just freakishly strong?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a world unlike any other.
Yeah, so exactly. Can...
They told us this, didn't they? They told
right.
us.
Right. Yeah, they said so.
That's very fair. Whitney, what about you?
Yeah, lots of the same. I like that the cool little move that Shanks had where he pointed his finger gun and the gun went off, but it was the guy behind him. Because at first, I remember watching a reaction video and they were like, oh my God, can he shoot people? Does he have a devil fruit power? And that cute little reveal, it's like, nope, they're just really good fighters.
It's Lucky Roo.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. my man. Yasop also, I agree, was super awesome. I love how careless he seemed. He was like, is this what we're doing? Okay. And he stands up and you see his aim and he shoots at the pole and it bounces off and hits perfectly. And I agree with Tom too. Any kind of pirate stuff, I love pirate stuff. Any kind of like period piece, romanticized version of pirates. I know real life pirates, it was really not that great. But like Pirates of the Caribbean, I love that shit when I was younger. But the whole fight, it was like a mixture of modern stuff versus historical stuff. Like they had the little muskets, but they also did some cool karate moves and just some random kicks and punches thrown in. So you know that they do this often. They know what they're doing. The Sea King, I agree, looked totally awesome. I'm terrified of anything that lives in water. So this to me made me like pull my feet up on the couch while I was watching in the dry land of my home. But still, it's that's just how I react to things like that. But I thought it looked great. I am super confused, and I want to know this because I know a lot of people that I've seen review it that don't have a One Piece history. And I think we saw this in the anime too, where Shanks looks the Sea King in the eye and says, "Get lost." And the Sea King has this reaction with its pupils in the live action. But in both of them, it does go away. So I don't understand how that happened. I don't know if he has a history with these types of monsters and they have like a telepathic thing, or if he just got lucky that this thing was intimidated by him. But they really focus on their eyes, which made me wonder like what's going on. And I think that's one thing that is confusing about the live action is that when we see things like this, or we see a super strong person like Amanda was talking about, people are maybe going to automatically assume, oh, did they eat a devil fruit? Do they have magic powers? Or are they just an anomaly in this world? So I'm really curious to know more about this interaction that he had with the Sea King. Or it may be nothing, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Shanks could just be a terrifying individual when he's intimidating.
I
That's
mean, maybe,
absolutely
but
possible. I'd be scared of him.
I went back and rewatched that part, and you can see just barely Shanks's arm flying through the air after the Sea King. Because I was like, when did he do that? When did he bite? Because I couldn't remember when he snapped and would have been able to do that. And you can see him snap towards the boat, and it's a very far shot. It's very far away, and you can see just a little like line flying through the air into the ocean. So that was a really nice touch.
Interesting.
Ew. But yeah, I don't know. I want to know more about this interaction with the Sea King. I feel like we'll see them again in the anime. Because I think we've only seen the one, if I'm not mistaken. It's not the only monster we've seen, but
I believe you are correct. I think there's more in some filler episodes that we've already passed, but in the like filler in the there was like seven episodes of filler we skipped following Log Town.
oh, that little
That
girl.
yeah, and I think there's a couple Sea Kings in there, maybe. But I
So,
can't
I
remember for
mean,
sure.
can you tell us, like, is this significant or is it just something weird that happened? Is there more to it, I guess?
There's absolutely more to it. It's
Okay, thank you. That's all I needed to
pretty significant, and you will get answers. I will tell you
know. Okay, good. That's all I needed to know. That makes me
that.
happier because if it was nothing, I was going to be like, eh.
No, it's definitely not nothing. Actually, it's
Maybe there was like a
mind
crazy
blowing.
spell and it's someone that he knew and they were human and now they're a monster and they can still
Oh,
understand each other. I
this
know
is
what it is.
not Harry Potter.
I know what it is. The Sea King is Luffy's mom. That's who it is.
So Luffy's mom is afraid of his new
Yes.
caregiver.
He was like, "Look, I took care of him when you were an absent parent.
Got
Get lost."
it. He's like, I won the custody battle.
Oh, shit.
The interaction with Shanks and the Sea King was definitely a little bit different than in the anime. I thought that's the thing that it was kind of that I noticed was different, and I don't necessarily want to say that I didn't like it. It was odd to me. So in the anime, the Luffy's just sitting there barely floating in the water because again the devil fruit takes away his energy and he's basically just going to start sinking to the bottom of the ocean. And in that moment, the Sea King like is like above the water and tries to chomp down to eat him. And that's when Shanks comes in. Like it's out of nowhere. And all of a sudden Shanks is just there. And he moved out of the way barely, but of course his arm still gets taken off. And that's when Shanks looks at it and is like, hey, get lost. And so it was a little bit different. It was odd for me because in the anime, the face off where Shanks says get lost, that's the first time the Sea King sees him, because Shanks came out of nowhere. And so that is the initial change of what do you want to say, looks where the Sea King runs. And in this, and in the live action, they actually have an exchange of looks first, and then the Sea King attacks, and then they do another exchange, and it says get lost. So I think the anime makes Shanks seem a little bit more intimidating there, just because it's the initial one, not the second look. But I still really liked it. Like, it still worked. It was just different. Buggy's hair, I had a note on that. So I don't remember if we've seen this in the anime or not. So Buggy's hat, how the blue comes out the sides of his hat, that's actually his hair. Like, his hair is coming out of his hat and over the top. Buggy's got really long hair.
So not just bicycle handlebar ribbons. It's actually
exactly. Like, when you, because in the anime we never see him without his hat on. He's got his hat, well, as far as in at this point in time, we've never seen him without his hat on. So when you see the blue popping out of his hat, you can't really tell that it's his hair, but it actually looks like the hair in the live action. But it was interesting to me that whenever he took his hat off in the live action, he did have like a hair cap on or something like that, like a hairnet on, but it made his hair look really short. And so I just thought that was funny to me. I was like, is that fake hair in his hat then, if he's got really short hair underneath it? Or so, I don't know. It was just something I noticed.
It's like the Bozo the Clown. He's bald on top and then just has hair around the edges.
Yeah.
And clowns wear wigs. So I would assume that would just be like part of his getup.
And that's kind of what I was thinking. I was focusing way too much on this hairnet thing. Because I was like,
bandana?
Wasn't it just a bandana?
Sure. It's a bandana. Yeah, that's
like the thing all pirates wear.
Buggy's got to work in the kitchen when this is over. He's got to wear.
Bandana's probably a better word.
You should
word
see
for
the
it.
Damn hairnets that I've had to wear. Those things are like huge.
Next time you wear them, just call it a bandana.
please take a picture next time. Also.
Can't have my phone in jail.
But I was like,
oh, damn. I forgot. Oh my god, that's such out of context.
It really is.
I have my phone in jail.
Let's keep it a mystery. Don't tell anybody.
I mean, you can. You just got to know how to sneak in.
Well, that's just like last week when Matt was like, "I have broken a law in international waters."
Oh yeah.
And that's all you're gonna know.
Speaking of that, we never did get that answer out of him.
Yeah,
that
we
bitch.
Didn't ask him. Come on, Matt. Pony up.
But I was focusing way too hard on Buggy's bandana in this episode. I was like, could he fit that much hair under that bandana? Like, there's a slight bulge there. Like, I'm just sitting there focusing on Buggy's bulge.
Yeah.
I have an answer.
Go for
it. It's just short, Derek. It's just short hair.
Maybe it's just short.
They just went with that. They went with that stylistic choice. It's short hair.
Yeah, I'm kind of going backwards here, because I talked about the Shanks scene, and then I'm talking about Buggy's hair, and now I'm talking about the fight scene.
Oh my god, get it together.
I know. I really liked the fight scene with Shanks' crew, especially Yasop. Whitney already talked about the shot off of the pole that hit the guy, and then he blocked a sword with his pistols crossed, and Yasop was an absolute freaking badass in this scene.
Yeah.
He definitely stole the show in that scene for sure. I really liked Lucky Roo beating people with his meat stick. That was funny.
Yeah, get it, Lucky Roo.
He does the same thing in the One Piece porn parody. So it's
see.
Oh my god, I'm googling that right now.
No, not on a school computer.
Oh, sorry. Not googling.
It's okay, you got a phone.
I do.
Yeah, exactly. Use your phone. It's not paid for by the school.
I'll just wait. TikTok will bring it to me soon.
Yeah, we said
I'm sure
it.
They will.
It'll hear what we're talking about.
It'll get their Lucky Roo porn parody. Yeah, just someone Google Lucky Roo meat stick and see what pops up.
Oh no,
never me.
Exactly. That's why I didn't do it, and I said someone else should. And that's my last note on that section. So are y'all ready to move on?
I have one
Lucky
more
Root
thing to
Meat
talk
Stick. The first thing you get is a Reddit thread. So it's going to be a,
it's
going to be
that.
An avalanche.
Okay.
Good luck.
There it goes.
I have one tiny little thing left that I forgot to mention.
Let's do it.
When right before this fight happens with Shanks and the other guy, I can't remember his name, the awful dude. He says, "Don't you ever threaten my friends,"
mm-hmm.
which is super awesome because here in a few minutes we hear that line again.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Absolutely. Okay. In the present day, Zoro and Nami are able to team up to take down Kabaji extremely easily. They immediately head to help Luffy, and they are able to break the case quickly. Buggy demonstrates the full might of his Chop Chop fruit against Zoro and Nami. After collecting himself, Luffy joins the fight as well, but Buggy is still proving to be too much for the three. With some smart thinking by Luffy, they are able to take down Buggy by trapping most of his parts in different crates so he can't put himself back together. To the surprise of Nami, Luffy then frees the villagers before they head out. In the Marine base, Garp speaks to the Marines about what it means to be a Marine while Captain Morgan is strung up in the courtyard. In the past, young Luffy pledges to Shanks that while he understands he's not ready to be a pirate now, someday he will grow up to be the greatest pirate the world has ever known. Shanks gives him his straw hat and makes him promise that he will return the hat one day, but not until he becomes a great pirate. Back on the boat, while Luffy and Zoro are distracted, Nami makes a phone call to an unknown person, letting them know that she has the map. So, Whitney, we'll start with you.
Okay.
We kind of get the wrap up here. What did you think about the wrap up?
Someone mentioned this already earlier. I think it may have been Tom when Kabaji says, "You really don't fear death, do you?" And Zoro says, "No, I just don't fear you." Tingles up my spine.
That was great.
I think this is the first point where we see that Zoro actually gives a shit about Luffy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he mentions that, you know, like he doesn't have to believe in Luffy. Luffy believes in himself. And so that's a little bit of a, I guess, a precursor to what's going to happen between them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear Luffy talking to Buggy and says, "Don't you ever threaten my friends." And I mean, it's just more of that. We see what Shanks has done for Luffy's character, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it before. He could have been a very different person. And we see that too when he frees these people that have been tortured for God knows how long. And it was so sad when the guy in the wig, I don't know if he was like the mayor or something. Because
yeah, he is.
Know that they
I think
call
his
him
name is Noodle. I think it's Noodle.
Noodle. Is this the arc where we got Shushu?
It is.
Yes, he's there.
And I think we
There's
see him, right? The little,
yeah.
The little terrier buddy. Okay. I'm glad Shushu made the cut. But he asked him, he's like, "Are you our new captors now?" Which was such a sad thing for me to hear because it's kind of what they're used to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "No, I'm a different kind of pirate." So that I thought that was a really good point to drive home that Luffy is not like any of the others. It was a really good scene. I think Luffy getting his hat from Shanks, it was pretty emotional for me. I thought that was really well done. Towards the end, I can't remember what prompted Luffy to say this, but he says, "Shanks always said, if the path to what you want seems too easy, then you're on the wrong path." And I thought that was just a really nice quote.
Yes. Absolutely.
And something that I think probably everybody can relate to that, right? We've all struggled in some way, whether it's with our job or our personal life or family or whatever. And things aren't easy for a long time, but hopefully one day, maybe it'll pay off.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course we see shady little Nami. I don't know. Have we ever seen a snail Bluetooth in the anime?
We haven't at this point, and actually I'm trying to remember if I've seen one period in the anime at all, and I can't think of one that's ever put in the ear like that.
It's pretty cool, though.
It
I thought it was
was,
a
yeah.
neat little, I don't know if it's a new thing or an adaptation, but I thought it was neat. And I think for people that don't know Nami's story, I think this may have been a good point where they're like, oh, she's a double agent, or she's got her own motivation here that might be going against them that's going to cause a conflict in the future. So it was a pretty good ending.
Yeah. Tom, what did you think about the wrap up on this episode?
So with Nami, you were saying earlier, like, she's money hungry in the anime, and we haven't seen that yet. This may be the point where she turns, like, that's why she's after the map, because she knows how much money it's worth. So that may be a twist with her. Okay. I also love with the technology, like, it's Bluetooth, but also it's a rotary phone.
I never really thought about it that way, but yeah, actually, I kind of love it even more now.
Talked about it before, how this world has like a weird mixture of old technology versus modern technology, right?
Yeah, that's a fun little mix up. And then the hat, we get to see why the hat is so important to Luffy. And I'm going to give a prediction from a guy who knows nothing about the anime and has only seen the first two episodes.
Okay.
By the time he grows up to become a great pirate and he goes to give the hat back to Shanks, Shanks has already been axed, and Luffy's just going to hang the hat on his grave and walk away.
Okay.
Oh my God, that'd be so Aww. Sad.
Right?
That would be sad.
And Derek's the only one who knows for sure. Whatever.
Not a bad poker face, Derek. You're just sitting there kind of calmly and listening.
Yeah,
this is how it goes. It's that smirk. It's that knowing smirk that he gets to give all the time.
Maybe I know, maybe I don't.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But now the way this ended, it definitely it left me interested enough to want to watch more.
Okay.
Awesome. It's so good, Tom. I can't wait for you to watch it.
Amanda, what did you think about the wrap up on this episode?
I thought it wrapped up well. I liked that whole segment where they're baseball batting Buggy's pieces into crates. That was clever. I thought it looked good too. I think that could have easily looked really goofy, but it kind of did, but I was like, yes, do it. Get all the pieces into boxes.
Not look goofy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it still looked good. And then, yeah, got that ending with sneaky Nami and her little snail Bluetooth. So
yep.
We shall see where that goes. And I am excited to get to the next kind of stretch of episodes here. I think this one, like, maybe wasn't my favorite just because I like when we
the
meet
other
more
ones.
People.
Mm-hmm.
And we start to meet some more people as we go on. So
I get that. Yeah. There's an arc in One Piece. It's I feel bad for it, kind of, because it's not a bad arc. But the fact is, the arc before it is possibly the best arc in all of One Piece. And the arc after it is also possibly the best arc in One Piece. And so this one smaller arc is smashed in between them. So because of that, it's almost like a sore spot, because whenever you finish the one great one, you want to get to the next great one. And so it's, I feel bad for it, because it's not that it's bad. It's just, it's between two fantastic fucking storylines. And so, like, I get what you're saying there. Like, you don't necessarily think this episode's bad. It's just the first one was better, and what we're going into, again, I don't know, you like more, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
There was a great Nami line that I skipped over earlier when once she frees Zoro and he's like, oh, what's your plan? You're the one with all the plans. She goes, I thought we would just beat the crap out of every pirate we see. And it's like, if you wanted to make Zoro thirst for you, that's what you say to him.
Oh God, I hope that doesn't happen though. My light inside will go out a little bit.
So the Kabaji fight was kind of funny to me because so far in this, in the live action through the first two episodes, most of the fights we've seen have actually been drawn out in the live action. And like the Captain Morgan fight in the anime is very, very quick. The fight in the bar that Zoro had with Helmeppo there is very quick in the anime. Like those things are being drawn out in the live action because it's more realistic. Like I make sense why they're doing it. And this fight with Kabaji was kind of the first one where it was the opposite. It's a longer fight in the anime by far. I think it took up almost a whole episode between Zoro and Kabaji in the anime. And here they make him seem like a child and drop him in 5 seconds, if that long. So I thought that was funny. That was just something I noticed that this was the first fight that was like opposite of the anime, or that was opposite of what they've been doing so far. One thing I did notice, again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I wasn't a big fan of it myself, but that's just because I know, like, I'm a sucker for the anime and the 1,000 episodes that I've seen. The rules of Buggy's powers were broken in this episode. So I don't know if you remember in Orange Town in the anime, they established that while all of Buggy's body parts can move exactly like they did in the live action, there's two things that can't move, and that's both of his feet. Both of his feet have to stay on the ground while everything else can move. And that's actually how Luffy fights him, because Luffy fights his feet.
I didn't remember that.
And so in the live action, Luffy's or Buggy's feet kick Zoro a couple times. So that was one thing I noticed. I was like, his feet aren't on the ground. Interesting. And then let's see. Like Whitney pointed out, Luffy obviously quotes Shanks just like the anime. It was funny to me because they were different lines and used in different moments. You know, like Whitney pointed out, it was "Don't threaten my friends" in this one, or something similar. And in the anime, it was something like, "If you don't pull your pistol unless you mean to use it," which Luffy quotes at a point that we haven't hit yet in the live action. But I think it's kind of funny though, because Zoro says something similar to that in episode one of the live action. I think he told Helmeppo, "You shouldn't pull your blade unless you're meaning to use it." So that was kind of similar, and I didn't think about it until just a little bit ago. The thing again, and maybe I wouldn't have minded it as much if I hadn't seen it in the anime, is Nami. The scene with Luffy unlocking the chains and everything, don't get me wrong, I like it, and that's totally Luffy to unlock it. But I wasn't sure that I liked that that was the impactful moment where Nami is supposed to realize that he's different. And I think the reason for that is so in the live action, he walks 5 feet, or you know, 10, whatever, I'm exaggerating, 10 feet, and pulls a pin to unlock the chain so the people can leave. So he's just going a little bit out of his way to do something massive. And in the anime, if you remember, he goes way out of his way fighting Beast Tamer Moji and the lion. And it's a fight where he gets hit several times and gets sent flying across the town a couple times. Like it was not a super simple fight for Luffy. And he does it over a bag of dog food for Shushu. Like it was something where in the anime, he went way, way out of his way to do something very, very tiny. And that was where Nami realized that he was something different in the anime. So it was like, slightly out of your way to do something massive, or way out of your way to do something tiny that most people would not do. Most people would walk over and unlock the chains so those people could leave. Most people would not go fight a fucking lion to get a dog half of a bag of dog food. You see what I'm saying? So, like, I just felt like this moment in the live action was not quite as impactful as the one in the anime to, like, establish that Luffy is something different than a normal person, if that makes sense. So that was...
Yeah, I mean, I think they just had to put it somewhere.
So yeah, that's they where did.
They put it, because they didn't have any of the other stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also kind of seemed like they were just going to leave and, like, not free those people. So, I mean, that is kind of...
That would be really douchey.
And you make a good point, but also that's not, like you said, most people would unlock the game. Most pirates would not.
Yeah,
and
fair.
Ami makes that statement earlier, like there's only one type of pirate.
Exactly.
That's the part where she sees that he's not that type of pirate. So someone who didn't know that about the anime, that worked probably better for me.
And see, that absolutely makes sense. That's the anime coming out of me. And see, Tom, that's why you're here, because you are seeing things for the first time. So you can take them in differently than I can, and that Whitney and Amanda can, maybe.
I thought it was interesting that, because we were talking about the torture, like you're torturing the swords master with blades, you're torturing the stretchy guy by stretching him. Then they come back to fight Buggy, and how are we going to fight it? Well, I've got swords. Well, you have to cut, you can't cut the guy. So now what, like, it's the same, it just kind of inverted around.
Yeah. I had to get a little creative.
Yeah, it was different. And like, the Buggy fight was harder in the live action for sure. And that was the other thing that I noticed is so they beat Buggy in a very similar fashion in the anime, except in the anime, it's Nami that comes up with the idea. And actually, she doesn't even mention it to Luffy. She just ties all of Buggy's parts up. That's all Nami that finishes that fight. And so that was kind of the interesting thing to me, that Luffy was the one that came up with it here. And it's not that, I didn't dislike it. It was just something I noticed. And I was like, I wonder if they're trying to make Luffy seem more competent as a fighter. Not that he's incompetent, but just trying to add that extra layer to him. Have all of you seen The Office?
Yeah.
Okay. So I listened to there's a podcast with Brian Baumgartner that he plays Kevin. And he was bringing some of the showrunners and the creators of The Office. And actually one of the people that he brought on was the person that bought the rights to it from the showrunners in England or in the UK. And so they were the people that brought it over to the U.S. And they weren't sure that The Office was going to go over well in the U.S. So the first season, that first six episodes, is basically identical to what was done in the U.K. But then whenever it went over really well in the U.S., he was talking about how they had to add something extra to Michael in season two to make him likable. Because in the first season, he was just a bumbling idiot. And it was kind of funny because they were talking about, they were like, in the UK, that happens every once in a while. Like, you know, some people are bumbling idiots and they're not going to lose their jobs because of it. And in the US, that's not the case. You know, don't get me wrong, you could be an idiot, but at least you have something that you bring to the job still. And so in season one, they didn't.
I don't know where you work, but.
So in season one, they did not show that side of Michael at all. He was just an idiot. They did not show anything he brought to the job. So if you watch season two now, you'll notice that they take him on a sales call very early to show him as a good salesman. I don't remember what exactly it is, but they throw him through heartbreak very early in season two because they are trying to establish him as someone that is relatable as the main character of the show in a way that they didn't do it in the first season. And so that's kind of what they were, that was their goal in the beginning of season two, was to add that extra layer to Michael Scott. And so that's kind of what I thought of whenever they gave this to Luffy in the fact of being the one to come up with the way to defeat Buggy instead of Nami. And I was like, they are adding that extra layer to him and giving him that extra intelligence instead of Nami. So I did like that, they were putting that effort into him and trying to give him a little bit more depth as a character. It sometimes takes a little bit to get in the anime. Okay.
Yeah.
I know. I went on a long rant there.
What? No,
Sorry.
I didn't mean that disrespectfully at all. I was just like, yeah, let's what are we talking about?
Okay, so are y'all ready to go on to our extra things?
Yes, extra things.
I didn't know what. Yeah. Okay, any other quotes that anyone has wrote down? Nope. Okay. I'm.
We all just looked into the air very
Well, I mean,
pensively,
yeah.
like,
So for our listeners, Whitney's camera is malfunctioning. So that's why I told Amanda to flip me off for Whitney earlier, because I can't see if Whitney's flipping me off, and I
I
can't.
am. I've been
Yeah.
doing it the whole
The
time.
whole time.
The whole time.
And retroactively, all of the listeners can flip you off right now.
That they
Yes,
can.
everybody, all at once. One, two, three, go.
I swear, someone's gonna be merging into a highway, and there's gonna be a cop there, and they're gonna get pulled over, and it's all gonna be Whitney's fault for
I'm
starting
not responsible for anyone's actions.
it. She's gonna pay your tickets, don't worry.
Nope.
Okay,
Good luck getting some money from me. Ain't got none.
so Whitney, we can't see your pirate pal since you don't have video, but you'll still be able to post
Except,
it. Do you still
oh,
have?
wait. I have sent you my pirate pal in the chat.
Oh, you did. Oh, you okay. So
And
we're going with.
listen, I think this was a no-brainer for this week.
Okay.
In my opinion,
Fair
we've
enough.
chosen, or we, I have chosen Kabuki because we talked about how magnificent they did bringing his character to life in appearance, anyway. So I'll post side by side of the actor and the anime. I think he looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, I think he does too. So I am okay with that. Okay, and Piece of Shit Award. Any nominations?
Oh man. Oh man. Kabuki.
Oh.
It
He's so
because
bad at
he's been
everything.
thinking?
I mean,
He
I
is
don't
bad at
remember the
things.
guy's name, but he was the one picking on Luffy in the bar, and he kidnaps him on the boat when they get attacked by the sea monster.
I don't,
Oh
yeah,
yeah, that asshole.
I don't think they ever did give him a name. I'm good with just putting
Really?
Bandit.
He
Yeah.
has one, doesn't he?
I don't know his name.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he has one. Everybody fucking has a name.
Not this piece of
I
shit.
know
Enough.
there's definitely someone listening right now that's like, I don't have a name, you son of a
It's
bitch.
Higuma. Higuma. Higuma.
Okay.
Higuma.
That
Higuma. I don't know.
Higuma. Okay, we'll go with that. I'm good with that if everybody else is. Because
Fair.
honestly, I had trouble finding one. I did not come up with a pick. I was like, you know what? We'll just see what everybody else says.
That's what I do because I
And
forget to do it every single time.
Yeah, I'm always piece of shit.
okay, and MVPs.
Buggy, buggy, buggy. Okay.
I
No
mean,
objections? Okay.
my MVPs is always going to be Nami just for my own thirst, but it's hard to argue with Buggy in this episode.
Well, you better give it to her now because she ain't gonna need it in the next few
Oh,
episodes.
that's lovely. Damn
Hey,
it.
same in the anime. You know how it goes.
I mean, that's fair. I don't, yeah, we didn't give it to her for a while in the anime. I don't even remember when the first time when she got it.
Probably when she left them.
No, she definitely didn't get it then. That's when she got the piece of shit award.
Oh, wait, that's what I meant. I was thinking piece of shit. Sorry.
With only two episodes, she does strike me as the type of character that can get MVPs or piece of shit just from one scene to the next, not even
You
one
are so, you're
episode.
so right though. You're
Yeah.
so right. 'Cause that's happened. We've given it her both.
We have. She's gotten both multiple times, and she's, I think, the only person that has gotten both multiple times. Yeah, I had Shanks again. I was thinking about it. I was like,
You've
man,
been
with this.
thinking about him for years.
I know. I've been thinking about him for years.
For years.
Like, you know, the coming in and barging in when the bandit's about to take Luffy, and then the scene with the Sea King, and then the conversation with him putting the hat on Luffy. And I've given Shanks, you know, even though we gave him MVPs last week and I was also all for it, I have given Shanks flack in the live action for different little things that were written in his character. But the scene with him putting the hat on Luffy and that whole conversation, I fucking loved it. Like, I thought they nailed that.
Yeah, it was good.
It's like I was sitting there, you know, I was sitting here thinking about who really stole it for me in this episode. And Buggy's absolutely fair. Because he is extremely well written in the anime for sure. And he's, or not in the anime, in the live action, for sure. And I really like the way he's done. So I am completely okay with giving it to Buggy, but Shanks was the one that popped in my head.
Yeah, I feel like Shanks had good guy vibes in this episode. And even though Buggy is a bad guy, man, he really had an impact here. I think more so than what I've seen in the anime.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think
I think
just
he
the
brought
fact
it.
that, I think I'm just impressed that he's on such a different level here. Because he is a joke in the anime. He's just, you know.
And I think the actor's a lot to thank for that because I never would have imagined anybody would make him be menacing, I guess. Like just when he does his chop chop cannon and he's like gutturally yelling in this deep gravelly voice, it was frightening. I was like, whoa, this is
Flashily,
crazy.
Whitney.
He was flashily. Yeah, but I don't know. He just had an impact on me.
Okay, I mean, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, and I think you can say that about this whole cast because the things that are happening in this show, there's a lot of silliness and goofiness in some of the costumes. I assume look anime accurate, and that's a cool thing that should happen. But the way the actors are portraying these characters, just like the guy that did Buggy, like you're taking it real, and that takes out a lot of the silliness out of it. So it's the way you make silly things have a real impact, especially like what you were saying with that scene when Shanks gives him the hat. Like that's a really good emotional scene between those two characters, and that's how you ground things in a world unlike any other.
Absolutely. I really like the way you just lightly
That was
tossed that in there. That was perfect.
beautiful.
I completely agree. And so that is one thing I do want to say, since you know, because that you brought it up there and it popped into my head. I know over the past couple of episodes, I've had my nitpicks with different characters. And I absolutely love the actors in this show. I think they've all done an absolutely fantastic job. I don't have any issues with the actors in this show. Actually, it's the exact opposite. I love the casting in this show. And I think they've all done absolutely amazing. It's the writing that I am more nitpicking in my small things than the acting. I've really enjoyed the performances of the actors in this show for sure. Like the casting in this has been dead on. Great. So, okay, silence, crickets. Are we going Buggy then?
Yeah.
Okay, Buggy it is. I like it. This is the first bad guy we've given the MVPs to. I'm so excited.
Yes.
I mean, the
Will
last
it be
time
the
we gave
last?
it to Shushu for this stretch of
We did.
Aw,
Poor
Shushu.
dog wasn't in it this time,
I'm
but
so glad he was at least kind of shown in that last little.
he
And how
was.
weird was it also that they offered Luffy food and he only took one piece of food?
Yeah, that was weird.
That's why
I
they call
was
it
like,
One Piece.
I was like, no way. He would have taken the whole basket. Come on.
No, he absolutely would have. He wouldn't have even waited for them to offer, okay?
Right.
Yeah. He would have just been like, oh, food, and then walked off with it.
Swallowed it whole.
Also,
the plates and everything.
Yeah, Luffy says you need it more than we do. I don't think that's true. You're going out to sea.
Right, yeah. Very true. And they do not have a chef on board.
Yeah, they do not. Damn it, Wendy, shut up.
Although if they did take the food, Nami's fine ass would probably just steal it anyway. So it's fine.
You are absolutely right.
That's fair. So Tom, before we wrap up here, a couple questions for you. One of them you kind of already answered, so it sounds like you are planning on keeping on it. You're going to keep watching the live action.
Yeah, it's fun enough to give it the rest of what's out. Yeah, I'm going to keep watching.
Okay, all right. And then, so my second question is: has this instilled in you any interest in watching the anime?
This has, but that got quelled because I watched the anime. I went and watched through the first, the first episode that's still on Netflix. Okay. I went and watched that and it was really cool, but I don't think anime is like all the screaming and the big eyes. It's a little much for me. Exactly, the live action is good.
This is exactly our, at least mine and Amanda's sentiments. When we first started watching, we were like, why is everybody screaming?
That's absolutely fair. And it's like, I think it just grows on you after a while. Yeah, yes, it's definitely annoying at first.
I'll agree with that. I'm not an anime person, but this has grown. Like, I get excited when I see things that are One Piece related. Like when I go into a store and I see One Piece stuff, I literally sent these guys a picture of a One Piece tattoo today or yesterday, one of the days. And I was like, talk me out of this. I don't know. It does grow on you. And I don't know that that means I'll watch any other anime, but for this one, I feel like I'm going to finish it one day.
Okay. And so anything else before we wrap up here? Okay. Tom,
can you hear those fingers?
Yeah, I can definitely hear them. I can hear the wind and the, like, the crackling of the bones and the muscles flexing in your middle finger.
There's no muscles in your fingers.
Okay, maybe I guess it's probably in your hands or in your wrists. That's like pulling
it's in your arms.
Yeah, that's part of your hand.
No. anyway.
Tom, thank you so much for coming on and joining us this week. Where can the listeners find you on social media?
You can find me on the Instagram, Nob_Sterling. Nob Sterling is my burlesque name. So if anybody is listening in Tulsa or near Tulsa, Oklahoma, you can find us at burlesque shows. And you can find out where those shows are by looking at my Instagram.
Sweet, sweet. All right. Well, and you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at GoingMerryPod. And you can also support the show by leaving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. It really goes a long way with getting the podcast out there, and it's very much appreciated. So, and also feel free to reach out to us, send us messages, let us know what you're thinking of the live action, if you're starting the anime or whatever. We'd love to hear from you. So I hope everyone has a great rest of your week. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.